FCUM Radio, FC and Community United.
Good afternoon. This is Health Matters with Christine. Today we have Nicola. And Nicola, thank you for coming along to FCUM Radio. How are you today?
Fine, thank you. Yeah,
good.
Well.
Very good. I'm glad to hear that. And so, what is it you'd like to share with us today?
I've had epilepsy for 20 years nearly, yeah.
Right, okay. And how have you managed that? How is that? Has it gotten easier for you or better? Or
it's easier now since I've come to counselling because I've got epilepsy and non-epilepsy.
Right.
So when you get the diagnosis of that, you get offered counselling. So
epilepsy is, tell me what epilepsy is and then what's non-epilepsy.
Okay.
So obviously there's a difference.
Epilepsy can, obviously there's different types of epilepsy.
Right. Okay, when did you find out?
I found out when I was 15.
Right.
But me and my mum, I think I had it from 13. Because I was unwell for 2 years every day.
Right.
But years ago, they didn't, like nowadays they'll do all the tests and stuff, but years ago they didn't. So it's just that really. But epilepsy and non-epilepsy, it's like I've had three brain scans.
Right.
So the epilepsy, if you were to, the fits themselves are no different, whether you have an epilepsy or a non-epilepsic fit. You could,
right,
from very mild to very severe.
Right, okay.
They're no different in and you as a person, if you've got a condition, that you don't know the difference. Doctors,
right,
they only define the differences when you have your brain scan.
Yeah.
And they still, my last brain scan was a few years ago, and they picked up an epilepsic fit and a non-epileptic fit, which means it shows up on your brain scan that you've had an epileptic fit, and then you could have a fit, but it should
be from epilepsy.
Yeah, because it's like, yeah. It's,
so could it be from stress then?
Possibly. But you, when I do have the fits, you don't know whether,
which is,
you
which
can't
is
say,
which.
Yeah, but it's only then. But me, it's only then is that when you get offered the counselling, because you're guaranteed the counselling when you have the dual. It's called a dual diagnosis, epilepsy and non-epilepsy.
Right.
But you don't. But you don't just get the counselling just for. You can have one. You can have one or you can
one or the other.
Yeah.
And you don't get counselling if you have one or the other.
You have both. You do.
Wow.
And you get. But I personally think that any sort of condition knocks your confidence, and you're not a confident person anyway, then it knocks your confidence. But since having the counselling, it's only been since June this year.
Yeah.
That you've got to grow.
That you were diagnosed or that you have the counselling?
June this year I've been having the counselling, and then I think about six months before that, then. It took about 6 months to get the counselling, so it must have been about a year ago when I got the letters, and I didn't understand, like, they sent me letters from the hospital saying this, but I didn't really understand it. And then when you go to talk to the counsellor, they explain, I've got all the booklets at home,
you can't really
physically explain until it's all got a booklet at home that explains the difference.
Everything.
But I personally, as a person, whatever you've got, I think counselling helps me. Me personally think you should get the counselling whether you have the both or not, because I think I would have been a lot better even
with having the epileptic fit. That's how, just listening to you, I was thinking, well, why do they distinguish the epileptic or non-epileptic fit? You don't have counselling because you have to manage it, and it's different. So how old were you when you had your first epileptic fit?
Well,
Well, or your first fit, and you weren't exactly sure which one it was.
I was 13.
So how have you managed, or how has your family managed with your fit? Because you don't know when you're having the muscle.
Oh, generally, all right. And generally, over the years, it gets, well, it gets easier. But sometimes when you are in a, when you are in a, like, obviously if you're having a fit on your own, you're not as stressed as if you were somewhere else or whatever. But sometimes even, like, just recently, and you're in a, not in a stressful situation, just a normal thing, but depends on where you are, can provoke some, not, they're not being nasty, but someone else, it's like, you know, sometimes you're going to have a fit anyway, we can't help it, but even though your loved ones, they're stressed out because they're in a situation that I can't
stop. What if you had counselling, let's say 10 years ago, what do you think the difference would be for you?
Oh God, it's like, in hindsight, you do look back and you just think, you know, I would have had the counselling if I would have got my diagnosis sooner, my counselling sooner. I wouldn't have had it as long as I've had now, because they say when you, a lot of people get in the routine and they tend to grow back. You do tend to grow out of it. You can do, a lot of people do. You know, they'll just have it for a few years, grow out of it. But because you get used to it, so you just live and you don't get the help, and you just carry on, and then you don't. You have to fight your way out of it.
Yeah.
But I think I would be over it all by now if I weren't. I would have got the help, and I would have had the counselling, and I would have been a confident person and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
But because it's gone on for so long, you like,
it sort of becomes you. So, what support did you have? So, obviously, I know you over the years, your husband has been there.
In, 16
you know,
in years,
yeah. So, but outside of that, did you have any, what were the doctors saying? Were they, of course, they're going to give you medication to help manage it or try to manage it. But what other support did you have at all? I mean, were there nurses that would come to visit or
not when I was really young. Never had anybody till. Obviously, it was up to my mum. From 13 to 17, obviously, it was my mum because she was having mum's care. She took me to the doctors all the time and did her best. I'm not saying anything like that. She did her best. Doctors all the time. But no, not until I was about mid-20s, really. Then it was when I got, that's when I got an epilepsy nurse. When I moved down here, got an epilepsy nurse, got regular, in my 20s, I got regular hospital appointments, yearly hospital appointments, an epilepsy nurse and stuff like that. But from the age of 13 to 17, all my mum kept on doing was just taking me back to the doctors, taking me to the hospital. But I did, there was no actual care until about 10 years ago or something.
So do you think if during the time, especially as a teenager, pre-teen, a teenager, if you would have had maybe just someone to talk to during that time, do you think you would have been a different person and you would have been able to manage your epilepsy a bit better, do you think? Or would it have gone on as long if you had got some support?
It's really hard to say, isn't it? But, you know, looking back in hindsight, you know, if you get things sorted out sooner, you could have been a better chance. But
And I know it's been difficult, really, for that one to say that you've been better because of the support. But, so what happens now? I mean, I know you've had one recently, like, so afterwards, you get home or, you know, what do you do? So your aftercare is what would you do afterwards?
We'll just stay at home and just rest, really. Don't really need to ring anybody or anything.
Right.
Because I think I saw the counsellor 2 days before, and then everything was fine. And I said to her, I don't know, sometimes when I come, I don't know if I'm going to, you know, be dead happy and smiley or just cry or something. I don't know sometimes when I walk in. But then that'll be it then. And then I'll go to the hospital in December, next week.
Right.
And then I'll tell him the what's happened. Because I've got yearly hospital appointments. And then I'll just see my counsellor as and when I can. And then I can just ring my epilepsy nurse. But other than that,
right.
But I feel better. As long as I've always got some support, I cope quite well, I can just get on with my life. But when you don't have the support,
there's a big difference.
You make
an absolute big difference. So when you went home after you had your epileptic fit a couple of days ago or so, you went home, you rested,
yeah.
And how long does it take you to get to feel back sort of like to yourself? Does it take you a couple of hours or a couple of days?
As long as I have a sleep.
Yeah, and do you have to take any medication even after you had the fit, or do you just not?
Just not. My normal ones take medication in the morning and medication in the evening.
And that's regular?
Yeah, right. Evening. And,
right, okay. So if they're giving you medication so that to, I suppose, to control it or to keep it down, but then it happens anyway, do you think it could be the non-epileptic fit that you have made?
It's probably either or, because it might have just been a normal fit, because if it starts, because I had one in, last one was July, I was all right from July to November, so that is quite normal. If I go from July, bad fit in July, one in November, that's all right, but that's normal. But then it could, if I don't manage, I know if I'm not doing anything out of the normal or being dingy, and I start having them every day.
Yeah.
And say if I get myself worked up, I'm going to the same place and doing like, then some of them, say if I went all up for some of it back to, like, fed them every day.
Yeah.
Then they'd be non-epileptic fits then.
Okay.
That's what I think anyway.
Right, okay.
Because I'm not managing, but that, at the time, there's three things that I sort of knew that triggered it, and it couldn't be helped, if you know what I mean.
So for you to manage your epileptic fit, it would be having your medication, and then just ensuring that you get enough rest, ensuring that you don't really put yourself in situations where they're going to be quite stressful.
Yeah, yeah.
And what else? What other things do you do to manage? Do you have to eat to pick particular food, or?
I don't really. I just tend to just eat regular meals, but not because necessarily to trigger a fit or anything. I just eat regular meals just because I'm just having a bit of a doing tip just to keep myself so I don't feel. Because you can just sometimes get symptoms of fits, and you might feel like feeling dizzy is part of a. That's like part of a fit. So if you start missing meals, you don't want to feel faint and it lead to a fit. So that's why I keep it like that. Other than that, really, if you was partying all the time or drinking lots of alcohol and not getting enough sleep and not eating enough and having a real stressful life, holding down a job and then partying and burning the candles at both ends.
Carrying
on. Yeah, she gives me exercises to do, like, you know, like...
Is that your counsellor?
Yeah, like, sometimes she'll have a sheet for me and you know how you've been feeling, work off the sheet, and then she'll say, like, just relax and deep breathing exercises, and then we'll write things down, and she'll have a little sheet, and then you have to fill it in, or just different things each time. And
And that, obviously, that's been working, because, like you said, since June, you're feeling more confident in yourself, just having someone to talk to.
Yeah. I feel like now I don't just cope a lot better than what I used to, I think, but then looking back I can see why I didn't cope, and then I could see why I had them every day to not, you know, to manage. And I mean, I've never gone 2 years without a fit, so I'm not clear to start driving or but I don't, because I've had it for so long, I don't think I'll ever get that far, you know, where you can say, right, I've gone 5 years and I can do whatever I want. And
So why do you think it's gotten better? Well, you
because I think millions of reasons why now it's like, because they have the support now of the friends and family. Now everything, society has changed, I know how to manage it, you know, even though I'm not out of the woods altogether, but back loads of situations years ago, looking back now, how people used to treat you then to how they do now. I mean, you still get the odd person, obviously, but that's part of life. You know, who's a bit fingered towards you, but in general, in general, like everything. But when a bit younger, it was like the down to the doctors, down to your family, everybody was like, oh, like you'd have it, or you'd faint. And 10 years, it's been. I've known how to manage things. I've known how to cope better with things, and got the help. Got the, you know, the disability.
Yeah,
got them. The disability living allowance, got the support, got, you know what, everything that's put in place. So, you know what I mean, they're not always there. They do prioritise as in how well you can manage.
Yeah.
You know, it's not on and how many fits you have, or you could have more or less than me. And each individual
is
different spectrums, quite broad. So
it's good to know that but you're doing quite well, you're managing with it, which is great. And thank you very much as well. I appreciate you coming in and talking and sharing, because that's a lot, you know, sharing personal experiences with people. You're, obviously you're sharing it with the listeners too, so thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.